Hello, One Song Nation. Diallo Riddle here. A quick reminder that this is the second part of our Daft Punk special. If you haven't already heard part one, I suggest you go back and listen before you enjoy this monumental episode and bathe in the glory of some Nile Rodgers isolated guitar stems, Pharrell's vocals, and our favorite Daft Punk samples of all time. This is One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to One Song Luxury. Tell us the story of how Get Lucky got composed.
Story begins in New York, where Nile Rodgers meets up with the boys from Daft Punk, with Thomas and Guimond, who are now men, I suppose. This is a little bit later. This is 2008. They had met before 10 years earlier at a record release party. Nile Rodgers was already a fan. He loved that first track to Funk, one of the first singles from Homework. Yeah. In any case, he meets up with Daft Punk. They talk about working together. And one of the themes for the album that the boys had been discussing, they wanted to make an album as though the internet never existed. That was the mission statement. So they had started they already had a demo, and it sounded a little bit like this. I think it's interesting to hear pre-Nile Rodgers. You can hear everything but guitar and vocals on this early take. And this is actually on Spotify. It's called GL Early Take. Interesting about that is that it's more complicated, right? They have this B section. There's no B section in the song.
No.
Get Lucky is a four chord loop the entire time. And here they were trying to maybe be a little more clever and creative and perhaps channeling this 70s yacht rock thing where maybe the Doobie Brothers might throw in, or the Beach Boys might throw in some fancy chords, Burt Bacharach style. And that shows up here in this earlier demo of it. So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. It's almost like, I'm glad that they made it more dancier.
And simplified it.
You know, my only criticism of Random Access is that there are times where it just doesn't feel like you're hanging out with the group that you know.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a different listening. It's more of a listening record than a dancing and DJing record.
And this album has great moments, but I'm happy that they made it more chic and a little less. No, I meant the Banshee.
I thought that was a pun.
No, it wasn't a pun.
They made
at all.
It chic by making it more like, well, you can talk about the pristine sonic qualities make it feel chic. It does feel like an object for your home, almost more. Look, we're not dissing the song. We adore this band. You know that. But this record, Random Access Memories, is so different from the others. And you've heard us talking about our adoration for the music as DJs, as producers. Like, this music is in our bones. This record is a little bit more of a like aesthetic experience.
It's a different kind of album.
Yeah.
There are songs on this album that I absolutely love. I'm happy that they made Get Lucky a little bit more dancey.
So Nile took what we just heard, that demo, and he took it apart and rewrote it essentially and came up with his now iconic guitar parts. And he also wrote a couple other tracks, Lose Yourself to Dance, and he was part of Give Life Back to Music.
I love Lose Yourself to Dance.
Lose Yourself to Dance. Lose Yourself to Dance.
Oh, yeah. What about that track do you like?
I just love it. I remember that actually the first time I heard someone else listening to it.
Yeah.
I was in traffic and I was driving and I look over to my right and there's like a car full of people younger than me, but they were all like just like grooving to it like
losing
really hard.
Dance.
And I was like, and we talk about repetition, like that song is repetitious.
Oh my God.
And
the vocoder part,
you know, come on. Like, but there's just something really groovy about it. While we're talking about the album writ large, I think my favorite song on the album, surprisingly, I think I'm going to surprise some people with this. My favorite song on that album is Doing It Right featuring Panda Bear. Here's just a second of that. But yeah, I love that. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, that song does it for me.
I mean, if we're talking favorite songs, then I got to give my boy Julian
on
some
this
love.
One? Okay. Oh, interesting. Go for it.
Huge Strokes fan, mm-hmm. Huge Daft Punk fan, as we've been discussing. I love that they have the kind of vocoder on him, because there isn't, I think on every song, the robots have a little part, like
they have a little bit to sing.
Daft Punk as an artist on this record's appearance is mostly in their modular synths and their vocoder.
Absolutely.
They show up in almost every song.
And they usually show up in the second half of the song, which is interesting.
Put a little part in there.
Yeah.
But I love this one. The one part that makes me laugh, though, as a person, as a songwriter myself, is whenever I hear the chorus, it reminds me of what you're doing in the vocal booth when you don't have lyrics written yet and you have a melody and you just sort of say whatever comes in your head. I'll just play it and maybe that'll make sense.
Is he singing lyrics?
That's kind of my point. There's like one line where he's like, and I never really know what to say. Like, I do that all the time. I'll be in the studio. I'll be like in my home studio, like working on something like, I don't really know what comes here, but I'm going to have a lyric at some point.
What was the Marvin Gaye lyric? It was something sanctified.
Right. Marvin, why don't you do something sanctified?
something sanctified.
Something like sanctified.
Something like sanctified. Something, yeah, exactly.
Something like sanctified.
I love that. Getting back to Get Lucky, we have the Stems.
We're never going to get to Get Lucky.
We're here.
We are never going to get to Get Lucky on this episode. That is my promise to you. Keep listening. This podcast, you can see the duration, how much is left. We are never going to get to the song. I promise you. That's my promise to you.
I don't think we can do that.
Okay.
That sounds like click out bait. Is that a term? Let's get back to Get Lucky.
Okay.
We have the Stems, folks. So let's start with the drums. What do you want to play for us?
This is famous drummer Omar Hakim, who's been in Weather Report. He's played with, he was on Let's Dance, David Bowie.
Dope.
Foo Fighters, Sting, Madonna, Kate Bush, Miles Davis, you name it. He's been on this record, and he's on Get Lucky. And then, so that drum beat, that really simple four to the floor drum beat, 116 BPM, goes through the whole tune. There's one part at the end when the vocoder comes in where it's layered with a drum machine and you can hear them mm-hmm. both playing at the same time. It's the 16th notes in the hi-hat.
Yeah, let's
You'll hear that just in a moment.
What's wild is it almost sounds like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, like, you know, Janet Jackson. Little bit.
The drum machine is probably could be a Lynn. It's probably something from that era.
Yeah,
could literally be the same hi hats.
You can hear it. You can hear the era poking through.
Yeah. Let's move on to Nathan East on bass. One of the most recorded bass players in history, by the way.
Who has he worked with?
A host of people, including MJ, Stevie Wonder, Herbie Hancock, and he's also, fun fact, a co-writer of the two Phils, I should say, right? Phil Bailey and who's the other Phil?
Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm. Easy Lover.
I saw this fact the other day. Phil Collins had more top 40 hits in the 1980s, if you count his work with Genesis, than any other artist.
Is that true?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
I would have never have guessed that until you're like, oh yeah, Phil Collins is like that forgotten dude from the 80s who, like, everybody knows Michael, Prince, Madonna. But
Phil was there
the whole time. He may not always have number one, but he's got 37 on lock. He's got 28 on lock. And, like, you know, Easy Lover is quietly one of my favorite songs of all time.
That's a great tune.
It's a goofy thing to admit. But let's keep going.
Nathan was there that day. Nathan East was there that day. And he was there this day.
Wow, those notes don't land where I would think they would land, but yeah. That sounds really cool.
Let's play it for you in the mix with the drums.
Let's add the context, as we call it. Like, super, I gotta say,
it's super syncopated.
Yeah,
another
super
interesting
syncopated.
Thing, if you notice it, doesn't it sound it's lower than you would expect a bass guitar, because he's either got a five or a six string. That's a low, he's playing the low B.
You know, a lot of times when we hear these stems, I'm like, oh, I hear another potential song in there. You know what I mean? Like, like, you're like, oh, wait, you could go another direction than that.
And he's
not
just
saying that we will, because we don't snitch and we don't steal.
And he's just dancing around that the whole time. This is a performed part. There's no loops in this track. And it's really fun to listen to the isolated parts, because he never plays the same thing twice. It's not even close. He's always finding kind of a new way to hit the note, or to go down an octave or up the octave.
What is his name again?
This is Nathan East.
Nathan East, man, killed it.
So that's what 1,499 other people thought when they also recorded him
on his
way to having all these recordings. So,
I'm just learning sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Learning is good. This is a little moment where he's got a little lighter touch, which I enjoyed, a little fill here. If you recall on the demo, it was drums, bass, and whirly, really. Obviously, the whirly is still in the mix. The guitar, though, became the hero when Nile Rodgers came into the picture. But there's also a piano and there's a whirly, and let's play those for you now. Woo! And I'll bring back the drums and bass.
There's just something about an isolated piano. If you like the song, and then you isolate the piano part, there's something that gets inside of you.
It's so simple,
when you hear
too.
Just the isolated
piano.
You
don't need to be fancy about it.
No.
Those chords, these aren't syncopated, funky, mellow. These are the actual chords, and they're looping the whole time on the one, on the downbeat. Chord, two, three, four. One chord per bar.
If you like the song, you're going to love the piano.
Fills up all the space and leaves room for the other instruments, especially our next guy, whose name is Nile Rodgers. You've heard his
name.
Who
is that?
15 times on this episode already. He's a very important part of this story. And he comes in and lays down this part. There's actually three different parts going in the song. That's
the
first one.
I never noticed that before.
Here's the second one. And I'll play it for you in the mix. And by the way, there are two guitar players on this. I believe Nile is playing the two ones we just heard. Mm-hmm. Paul Jackson is also in there, another Michael Jackson recording star. But I'm going to play you all the instruments together, and you can hear how they come together. So Nile Rodgers, as we mentioned, he came up with those three guitar parts, or he says he came up with three guitar parts. He also apparently is on this track with Paul Jackson Jr., who's also on Beat It and PYT and Dirty Diana. So between the two of them, all the guitar you just heard is created and made. And I believe there's a quote that I found where Nile Rodgers refers to him coming up with the rhythm that Pharrell used for the hook. And I think it's that ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'll play it again. So you can kind of hear there.
There's a little mirroring between what Pharrell's singing and the guitar part.
You can tell that Pharrell listened to that, and that clearly inspired his phrasing, the rhythm for his hook.
I mean, you've got three different eras of some of the coolest song makers of all time in the studio recording a song. It's no wonder why it's such a big hit. Yeah,
exactly. Well, that brings us right to Pharrell. Here's the story of how Pharrell gets into the mix. He's in Paris. And is told that Daft Punk wants to meet with him. So they get together.
Not what happened when I went to Paris.
No, it's not what happened
when
I went to Paris.
Nobody came up to me and was like, hey, Daft Punk wants to meet with you.
That's not
a
very common experience.
They were like, can we see your passport? But that was
about
it.
Not a very common experience. No, it's true. When they met up, Pharrell mentioned that he was listening to a lot of Chic and Nile Rodgers, and that was the mood he was in. And Daft Punk was like, you've got to be kidding me. We just happened to have these tracks we just recorded with him.
Uh-huh.
So the kismet of it all, right? The cosmicness of like, wow, came together in that moment where they played in the tracks. Pharrell records them. But what's interesting is that he didn't realize that what he was writing and recording, because he wrote the melody, he wrote the lyrics, and he recorded his vocal, assuming it was a guide for some other singer.
So oh, really?
He didn't realize that he was going to be on the final version. Apparently, it all happens in an hour. It's Daft Punk, so it's very secretive. He's not even given a work tape to listen to. So an hour later, he leaves the studio and gradually forgets that he what the song was.
By the time the song was done, like, I didn't know who was going to end up singing it. I left the studio thinking, okay, I can't wait to see who sings and what it sounds like. I didn't hear it for like a year. So I forgot what the song sounded like, both of them.
So a year later, when he listens back to it, and there's this great video footage on YouTube of this moment, he hears the song, and it's like completely fresh to him. He'd completely forgotten everything he'd done that day, and he had no idea that he would be on it.
We can play you the first, I mean, it's not in the order, but we can play you the first track we had done, the Get Lucky One.
So it's pretty incredible.
I mean, I think that's super cool. I love to think of these three entities, we'll say, because it's four guys, but these entities coming together to create such a great song. And right. I do believe that the vocals, the lyrics, I should say, you know, they're open to interpretation. Obviously, there's the whole get lucky in terms of like having sex. I think Pharrell has said, you know, to him, the song is about when you meet somebody for the first time and it immediately clicks and then you get to go home with them.
Yeah.
That's something that apparently happens in Pharrell's life, not often for the rest of us.
But his psyche must have also a little bit been thinking, how lucky that I've met Daft Punk and they mention Nile Rodgers and I'm in a Nile mood. I wonder if that wasn't a little part of it too.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I think subconsciously, I when I hear these lyrics, when I hear like the Legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings.
Oh, wow.
I see Daft Punk coming towards the end of their career and the beginning of something else.
But like, Pharrell couldn't have known that at the
time. I don't think he could have, but you know, and by the way, Pharrell always talks about like, he thinks that the Phoenix is, the story of the Phoenix anyway, is like his sort of like creative lodestar. Like he's like, you can't hold on to past glory. You always have to burn it all down. And in the embers is the egg of a new Phoenix.
That's such a great creative philosophy. And I know he brings that with him into the studio. I know that he's very in touch with being present and not sort of attempting to like have an agenda, just like, where is this music taking me?
And not trying to go towards the Neptune sound of 2002.
Yeah. You know, he's not trying to control the muse is what I mean.
Oh, exactly. And you know, I think about, I mean, there's so much you could talk about here, but like, if you think about this song as sort of being the bookend of Daft Punk's career, all ends with beginnings.
Right.
But then you also think about like the Legend of the Phoenix. Well, they were in a band called Darling with
Phoenix,
a guy who went off and founded a group called Phoenix. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff.
Way.
So
that's,
you literally
so crazy,
have from Darling to Get Lucky, this idea of like a Phoenix. And I do think the Daft Punk think that they're lucky, because I think that they think
but
that
the
they're talented.
But the fact that Pharrell is the one who wrote those lyrics.
I know.
And it maps to their story.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
I mean,
maybe
you're
right with that analysis.
You know, maybe they just know. But like,
but that's just how art works too.
But sometimes
Pharrell
is
so in touch. He's so in touch with the muse. He's so in touch with, he's one of my idols creatively. So many of our idols creatively. And it seems very possible that he was just in touch with something very special.
Absolutely.
When he came up with that lyric.
It gives me chills, because I do think of this as the swan song of Daft Punk. If they ever get back together and do something, we know Thomas is doing or released a classical album, and who knows what Guimon might do in the future. But you know, to real Daft Punk fans, Get Lucky is sort of like, you know, it's the end of a beginning.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see what comes after that. By the way, I also love the present has no ribbon.
Is that the
verse too. The present has no ribbon. Which to me says, like, you may not get your flowers right now.
I really had to think about that. That is so much deeper than I noticed.
Obviously, a present comes with a bow and a ribbon.
Just getting that right now. Nice. Love it.
Again, I mean, like Pharrell said, this song is about hooking up with somebody you met the same day. But I think
also about these deeper things.
I like to think it's about some of these deeper things too. If, you know what? Next time I'm in Paris, I'm going to reach out to Pharrell too and be like, Diallo wants to meet you.
No, I'm still turning over the present has no rhythm.
No ribbon. Ribbon?
Okay, I can't say this word. I'm also turning
the president
over
has no ribbon.
The president has no rhythm.
The president has no rhythm. Well,
it's famous
some
lyrics.
Some could argue.
Famous lyrics.
But the present has no ribbon. It's fun.
The present has no ribbon is great. That's a wonderful song.
Oh my gosh. So much to talk about. I love where this is going. More on Daft Punk after this break. Shout out to US Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song, and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Just gonna play the vocal.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning. Love.
I love that. I love that they kept that in. Just this little rhythm. Like kind of a little Michael Jackson thing. Like,
Love.
Yeah.
Look. And they left that. That wasn't muted. Well, let's talk about hook number two, the We've Come So Far hook. Mm-hmm. Here's Pharrell with several Pharrells behind him.
We've come too far to give up who we are. So let's raise the bar and our cups to the stars.
So beautiful. Pharrell talks about how perfectionist they were in the studio with him and how that wasn't his regular way. I think normally he would, especially because he thought he was writing for someone else.
Right.
So the need for perfection in his mind was like, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this so many times?
I guess Daft Punk were like, we are using Pharrell. Listen to that. This is incredible,
hilarious.
Right?
And then they present him with a gift after a year.
But did the gift have
a
ribbon on it?
I also love the line, we've come too far to give up who we are.
Right.
And I think that goes back to Daft Punk as well. It's like, we've come so far, but we're not going to stop
gonna
being Daft Punk. And we're going to challenge
here it
you.
Is, we're going to let go.
Huh?
We are giving up who we are. Is the irony of this.
I think we've come too far to give up who we are.
You're right, but at the same time, because this is their last record, maybe they didn't know
I don't think
at the
they're
time.
Giving up who they are.
I'm who they this are. With you.
I don't think they're giving up who they are.
They're not giving up who they are. They may be giving up their sonic direction, right? Because this is completely new.
Okay, so
but that's
let's
not,
talk
that's
about
not the
that.
Core of who they are.
Let's talk about that.
That's when a they, very Zen, that's they, a very Buddhist thing.
Exactly.
Well, I love that.
Okay, so here, let me make a case.
Yeah.
When they first burst onto the scene, one reason why the name punk is in their name was that, you know, it wasn't that they, yeah, sometimes they dress like rock stars, but their idea, and this is where hip hop has always been kind of punk to me, their idea was like, there's nothing we can't do if we want to do it.
Right.
Right? So if we want to make music that nobody else is making, that's one of the things that...
it's punk rock, man. DIY.
That I think it was called Jockey Slut was the magazine that interviewed them first. They're like, these are guys who aren't playing by anybody else's rules. Not the dance rules. Definitely not by any indie rock rules. And I think that this album, which sounds nothing like any other Daft Punk album, is another way of them saying, we've come too far to give up who we are. Are you coming to Random Access Memories with us? Are you going to go down this path of these songs and this era that influenced us? Everything from Paul Williams to The Strokes to Pharrell.
That's true.
Yeah.
But also remember, Pharrell Williams wrote those lyrics and sang them. That's true. Another connection to him being tapped into something that was maybe in the room or in the conversation. Or maybe they had alluded to it. I don't think they had. I don't know that when they were making this record, they knew that it would be the end. Maybe they did.
They're French speaking.
But the magic of songwriting and the magic of art is that somehow that is true of Daft Punk. And yet, Pharrell,
I will say, this is one of those times I'm going to put on the hat of I'm the audience, I'm the receiver of the art.
Yeah.
The way the music sounds, the way that the lyrics sort of relate back to the path that Daft Punk's been on, even though they did not write them, to me all came together as a person who was absorbing this art as like making a very cohesive statement.
Yeah.
About, you know, not giving up, you know, your artistic identity. Again, across the board, they always protected themselves, whether it was the image of their actual face to their album art, to the sound that they brought on every single album. We didn't talk that much about Human After All, but Human After All was sort of a dark, aggressive album compared to the two albums before it.
It's not their best record by any means. It's my least favorite, I'll say.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's my least favorite.
Really?
Because there are some songs on that album that I think are just absolutely... I always said I wanted to start off my DJ set. If I ever get the chance to do Coachella or some major music festival, the song that I'm going to start off with, I made this promise to myself, is off of Human After All.
Which one?
I'll play you a snippet. And it is a song that I have loved from the first time I heard it. This is Steam Machine. I always thought it would be the most epic start to any DJ set I ever get to do in front of a lot of people. Here we go. I mean, it just goes so fucking hard.
That's an Archie Shepp sample.
That is an Archie Shepp. If you know anything about Archie Shepp, that is not what Archie Shepp sounds like, but they sampled him saying Steam, and that shit goes hard.
It goes hard. It's so funny. It's interesting that we have this diversion for certain types of tracks with the repetition, and I just can't take that. Like, I can't even listen in the room. That record came out. I had one listen the whole way through, and that was it for me, I got to say. Yeah. No shade. We love this band.
We're allowed to not love
bits and pieces of the band.
Absolutely.
But I love that you love that song.
Absolutely.
And there's one more hook, arguably the most important. I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you pick best hooks?
She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky.
I love that. It's a great chorus. Can you play for us when the robots come in?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
We're up all night to get... That's when we get back to the repetitious robot voice that's saying around the world one more time. Like, you know, it's that repetition that we love so much. I'd love to hear them saying, we're up all night to get...
There is no doubt that this is the best part of the song, so you know I'm going to give it to you.
We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night to get lucky. I love it.
That's the best part.
That part is so good.
Which is just proves that I'm a OG Daft Punk fan.
No, I remember the first time I heard Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. I was already loving the album.
Yeah.
But when they get into the Zapp and Roger part of that song... Like, it didn't surprise me when Kanye sampled it. That, to me, was like...
The talk box.
Like, oh, my God, it's so good.
Everyone loves the talk box / vocoder. The line is thin in this track, I got to tell you. I hear vocoders, but I also hear stuff you can do with a talk box. Not really sure.
I know they had a lot.
I'm pretty sure it's vocoder.
But to our listeners, it's...
It's very talk box.
It's not... Guys, it's not auto-tune. And one of these days, we're going to do a segment called vocoder, voice box, auto-tune, and we're going to lay it out why you can tell the difference.
Talk box.
Such an amazing song. Can I play you a part off the remix that a lot of people don't know that Daft Punk did a remix to Get Lucky. It's about 12 minutes long, and there's a part that comes in where they sort of vary it up in a way that I don't think anybody saw coming. I've never heard another DJ spin this. Even I have probably only spun it twice in my entire time DJing. But I just want to play it while I have your attention. Here's a flip of the song that I think is really special. Check this out. I just love how they flip that part.
It's so basic. They just they dropped one chord and reversed three of them.
And they're
so
doing
the chord change. It's reharmonized. Yeah. And so the chord changes are surprising. And then they sort of rearrange.
They
where
rearrange it. It's coming in a different time pattern. Yeah. It's not where that part comes in naturally on the song. It's almost like one of those things that might have been a mistake at some point. Yeah. But they're like, oh, and they kind of loop that part for about 3 or 4 minutes, but
and then the whole thing is 10 and a half minutes long.
Yeah. It's I just love that part. And it's a part that didn't make the cut on the original song.
It's a crazy remix though, that it's just flipping the chords backwards and dropping one of them and extending it for 10 and a half minutes that.
For those who want to find it, it's the Daft Punk remix of Get Lucky. Like I said, it's about a 11 minute song, but this part only begins around 8 minutes and 23 seconds. So you kind of have to be listening to the song to even get to it. But when it comes in, It's a wonderfully, why do I keep thinking about caramel? It's a sugary sweet section of the song that you may not know is there. Go find it. Listen to it.
My man is hungry.
I have such a sweet tooth today. So Daft Punk have been sampled many times, many, many times. And they've also sampled many, many times. I just want to pause for a minute so we can talk about their sampling techniques. Luxury, Ram does not have a lot of sampling on it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to talk about a Daft Punk song without there being any samples. There are no samples or interpolations in this song. In fact, this entire album only has a single song that has two samples on it.
Just one sample.
There's just one song with samples on it. It's the last song on their last ever album. I'll play it for you now. The song is called Contact. And that comes from a song by The Sherbs, an Australian band. From 1982, the song is called We Ride Tonight. So that's just straight up. It's from the song. It's in the same key. Nothing's altered about it. There's also a pretty cool sample. They got the rights from NASA to use some of the communications from the Apollo 17 final moon mission. So Captain Eugene Cernan is also on the track. The last man to leave the surface of the moon, perhaps symbolically, as Daft Punk leaves the rest of us to go into their next orbit.
Absolutely.
It is a bright object, and it's obviously rotating because it's flashing.
So that's the one sample on their final record. In fact, technically speaking, they hadn't used any samples other than Contact since 2005.
But they are some of my favorite samplers of all time in the sense that, I put them right up there with Dilla, DJ Premier. I just feel like some people elevate the art of sampling to such a degree, and they are absolutely in that category.
I couldn't agree more. Hey, One Song listeners, it's Luxury. Now, in this next segment, what I'm doing to recreate the samples is I've got my Akai MPC 40, which is this MIDI controller, which I use to control Ableton. I've gone ahead and chopped up the original songs that Daft Punk sampled. So I'm going to be recreating live on the show. What you're about to hear is me pushing buttons with little sample fragments. And you'll hear me getting it wrong a handful of times, but it's all in the name of trying to actually put our heads in the headspace of Guimon and Toma when they actually sampled these songs. So that's what you're about to hear when we do this next portion, breaking down the samples of some of Daft Punk's most famous sampled songs.
And if you want to see Luxury push those buttons, go to the Heartbeat YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@heartbeataudio. That's where we upload videos of the show. You can also see clips on our TikTok and Instagram accounts.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about some samples on some earlier records. So one just quick thing to talk about is when we listen, you're going to hear some samples where it is pretty much what was used in the Daft Punk song, will sound dramatically similar to the original song. Part of what makes them creative, though, is not simply the choice of track to sample. That's part of the art of sampling. It's also how they combine full loops, sometimes 2 or 4 bar loops of the song, with these little borderline micro samples, I'd call them. And that's going
to
lead us...
I like to call them chops.
Call them chops. Which leads... We're going to play a couple of those first, and then we'll lead to the ultimate micro sample, world champion micro sampling song of all time. But we'll get to that in a minute. First, let's start with Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger from 2001. And the sample is from Edwin Birdsong's 1979 track, Cola Bottle Baby. First, I'll play a little bit of that. That little bit right there, and also this full loop. Exactly. Any fan of the Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk song recognizes that because they used it. It sounded like this. So those two little bits are used kind of as a setup. The repetition is used before we get that big 4-bar loop. So here's how Daft Punk did it. So it's interesting how they use these little fragments to kind of give it the repetition that actually makes it very modern sounding, first of all. It's not just the wholesale loop of an entire bar.
No.
And then you really feel like there's a DJ kind of factor going into it. You're really hearing the computer doing its job.
Yeah.
And it's super satisfying. What's interesting, too, is that those are... So you have a half bar, dun dun, a half bar, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Yeah.
That was very innovative of sampling.
It is innovative, but it's also a little bit like how we were saying, how when you bring in like the filter that the DJs use. I mean, like, as a DJ, I know that the second we figured out what cue points were and they started playing cue points,
you
start doing that and you hope that the audience doesn't get annoyed with you if you do it too much. I
want
to play a song similarly sampled. This is I Love You More by George Duke. I think you'll figure out what song they use for this.
Totally different song.
I would argue that they made that song better. No offense to George Duke fans. No offense to George Duke.
But they found, to your point, they find a little section of it, which maybe isn't even the core of the
song. And here's the weirdest
thing.
This is something, I don't think I've ever read this anywhere, but I think we're all sort of thinking it. The way that they sample this stuff, and I think it's because of the visual of these robots, it sounds robotic, but then when you hear the original song, you're like, oh, those are actually a bunch of black funk musicians. Like, it doesn't necessarily sound at all robotic,
right?
But the way that they sample it and loop it, all of a sudden you're like, that sounds like a robot.
They give it a robot twist.
It's
weird. They're balancing the analog, the digital and the analog, the vinyl, like, sample itself, the sample source, like even, with the computer that's chopping it up.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act.
It is.
Human and robot.
To me, it's always like, if you actually hear the song, like, they haven't changed that much, and yet when they use it, it sounds robotic, and when you hear the original, it doesn't sound robotic. It's really weird. Let's do the next one. I'm excited to hear, because there are some times when I feel like they barely changed the song at all.
I know exactly what you're talking about. This one's kind of funny because aside from this intro, you're mostly just getting a big old loop. So here's what Daft Punk did. So first off, Sick Tune.
That's great song.
The song that's
we
robot rock that opens.
It was very repetitious. It was very repetitious when we heard it, but we did like it.
We did like it. Probably my favorite song on Human After All. But when you hear Breakwaters Release the Beast,
then you're
let
like,
me know if you
wait,
hear anything
what?
Familiar. There's that song again. So it's not without changes.
No.
But they are minimal.
But I think, you know, once we all discovered Release the Beast by Breakwater, I will say, this is no dis to the robots, I do prefer Breakwaters because there's that wonderful funk breakdown towards the end, which goes like this. Water, Like, that is next level funk right there.
It's so good. It's the original is incredible. And here's how they did it. So now that you've heard both, it took that drum fill, which they chopped up and just repeated 8 times in a row. Whoops.
And then this is why you're not in Daft Punk. No. That's cool.
And then
cool,
they took
though.
That guitar. Yeah. There's 2 guitar hits, and they pitched one up, and they just repeated one and went to the next one.
Yeah.
And then they go into the loop.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty simple chop, but it does something important to it. Which is fun to play.
I will say, I usually will rag on groups for not changing songs enough, but I can't rag on them because I'm like, I would have never heard of some of these songs. The same thing they did they did with the song called Can You Imagine by Little Anthony and the Imperials. Check this song out. This might be the one time I don't think Daft Punk actually improved the song, because I think the original song, once I heard it, I was like, that is fucking cool. Now, check this out. The song that Daft Punk sampled that for is called Crescent Dolls. I think all of us thought they were saying Crescent Dolls, but they're actually singing Imperials, because the name of the group is Little Anthony and the Imperials. Does that make sense? So they're saying Imperials, but it's just like how
we're
talking about.
I thought it was Ain't a Funky Y'all.
It's really cool. You got to check out that song.
Yeah.
Little Anthony and the Imperials, Can You Imagine? It's a really cool song. All right, I think we're going to do one more of these sampling techniques.
Let's do one more. This is One More Time from 2001, which, if you recall, sounds like this. And I'll play for you where that comes from. And now I will show you how they chopped it. And as you can tell, they're using little snippets as these little 1/2 bar or 1/4 bar phrases, and the repetition kind of creates a new melody. And then it just goes right into One More Time
by Roman Anthony, rest in peace.
And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Daft Punk's sampling techniques and not mention Face to Face, one of the all-time greats.
To see it visually represented, how they chopped this up, it
highly
still barely makes sense. It's insane.
That's right. There are 20, no fewer than I should say. Uh-huh. There are no fewer than 20 samples. This is a track that they collaborated with Todd Edwards, the great Todd the God, as they call him. One of the greats, a pioneer of Myco sampling, him and MK, and among others, were
Todd
some
Edwards
of the
is
earliest.
Insane.
To use this idea of taking...
Not French. From New Jersey, I believe.
Todd Edwards is from New Jersey. That's right. I believe he lives in LA. I've met him a few times.
Yeah.
I've DJed with him a couple times.
Oh, wow.
Really sweet guy.
Yeah.
And he is a big part of the Daft Punk journey. He's on Face to Face. It's his voice. He worked with Toma to come up with all the samples. They both had 70, apparently, 140 total samples that they ended up with about 20 for the final version. And he's also on the record Random Access Memories. He's the one singing and co-writing...
Oh, wow.
The song Fragments of Time.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So this song is called Face to Face. It's from Discovery 2001.
Insane song.
No fewer than 20 samples. This is not the time or place to go through all 20, but I'll play one or two of my favorites. First off, here's the song Face to Face. So what you just heard is, remember all the little micro, half bar, quarter bar, all of those things that together became harder, better, faster, stronger, robot rock, etc. That's happening times 5 or so, because there's about a half dozen, maybe 8, just that little chunk, 20 across the song. Here's one of them. See if you can hear it. This is from Evil Woman by Electric Light Orchestra.
Yep.
It's a fragment that's part of that larger thing you just heard. That's one of the easiest to hear. Yeah,
that's a fun one. Yeah, You know what's funny about this song? There's so many samples that we could go into on this song. I always thought it was an interpolation or a sample or something. I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince. The two songs, if you put them together, they sound so much alike. As a DJ, I would often have, I would take all the bass out of the Prince song, leave in his vocal, and then take all the vocal out of this song and leave in the music, so to speak.
They mixed together.
And they sounded perfect. So I was always sure there was a Prince connection. When I finally saw the songs that they sampled and realized that they had put together this song, it was kind of insane.
Well, there's more to this song. Go online. There's a lot of wonderful breakdowns, but that's Face to Face, one of my favorite Daft Punk songs altogether, without Edwards.
Since you've named your favorite Daft Punk song of all time, I will say that my favorite, I think at the end of the day, maybe played at my funeral. Voyager. Voyager by Daft Punk. It's just a perfect,
that's a beautiful song. Also from Discovery.
Before we leave this subject alone, I do want to play one song that is, you know, like hip-hop has always tried to sample Daft Punk. It is rarely been successful in my point of view. I did like Touch It by Busta Rhymes. I thought that was one of the best uses. That song used to go so hard in the club, sampled Technologic. Obviously, Harder, Better. I didn't love it as much as everybody. It became Stronger by
Kanye West.
Didn't like it as much as the original, but just liked that it was on his radar. But to me, the best sampling of Daft Punk by hip hop was one of the very first. It is Raise It Up by Slum Village. I'm actually going to start with the song, you know, I'm going to start with the sampling song, Raise It Up, produced by Dilla. And then I'm going to play the Daft Punk song that it sampled because a lot of people don't know it. So this is Raise It Up, a little quick snippet.
Turn it up. SV. Raise it up. Raise it up. Raise it up. Raise it up.
And here is the song it samples. It's actually a Thomas Bang Alter song called Extra Dry from his Roulette label. Check this out.
It hooked me with that one. That's
so
for
at
sure.
Some point, Dilla heard that song and was like, oh, yeah, I fuck with that.
That was sick.
We could do a whole episode on just the hip-hop songs that sampled, you know, Daft Punk, but we are pretty much out of time. Luxury, this has been an absolute joy. Help me in this thing.
All right. Well, I'm producer, DJ, and songwriter Luxury.
And I'm actor, writer, and happily robot DJ Diala Riddle.
And this has been One Song. We will see you next week. Don't forget to give us 5 stars on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a nice review and tell all your friends. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. You can find us on Instagram at Diala, D-I-A-L-L-O for me.
And I'm at Luxury, L-U-X-X-U-R-Y.
And on TikTok, I'm at Diala Riddle.
And at TikTok, I'm at LuxuryXX.
I like that you got both.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
This episode was produced by Matthew Nelson, with engineering from Marcus Hom, additional production support from Casey Simonson, and the show was executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, Eric Weil, and Leslie Guam.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.